Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome. I'm Guy. That's John. And Mom and Dad need to have a talk.
I've had a lot of those in my era.
Yeah, well, your parents didn't get divorced.
No, it meant there were more of them screaming at you, coming from both angles. I think sometimes as a divorcee, you know, having friends, dating a girl in high school, it was kind of split. One guy was always the good parent. Even when one parent, when they're both together, is the good parent, they still can both get mad at you.
So you dated divorcees.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying when you're young, you kind of see it. It's more the emotional toll, but one person's always a little nicer.
Right.
Where when you're living with them both, even when one is always going to be a little nicer than the other, if you are, you know, just like any young boy, you're going to piss them both off and they're both going to be coming at your throat.
For those of you watching on YouTube, great. Like the video. Let's not bury the lead. And subscribe to the channel. It will live on. If you're listening to the podcast, cool. Thanks. Maybe we got some OGs out there. 10 years. This is the last Haberman and Middlecoff podcast as you've known it. The ham era is coming to an end today, Tuesday, March 5th, as far as you know. On the books, it came to an end February 28th. I forget how many days there are in February. But this is the end of it. This is the end of the show. 10-year run. Back when we started, John, not everybody had a podcast. Now everybody's got a podcast. Nobody's shutting down a podcast. So we still let's shut down this podcast. So here we are. This is the end.
Yeah. I mean, obviously when we got, without you, who, you know, I might be selling insurance or, you know, digging ditches at this point in time. Like broadcasting is the wrong way to put it, but my career with a microphone, I don't think exists without you. And, you know, one point in time that there couldn't have been a younger radio show. I mean, this dates us, but in America, in a major market, I mean, two guys under 30 years old. And then, you know, a lot because of my actions, there were, you know, you couldn't control. I mean, I don't think we really crossed the line.
Look,
that
this
bad.
Is the last one like this. So explain to people who might be new here.
We had a radio show for, you know, about 3 years in the Bay Area. And then
it started in January 2014. Actually.
Yeah. And ended basically at the end of toward the end of 2016.
It was like September.
It was the week one.
It was early football. Yeah, it was early football season.
It was, because I did the Raiders post game for week one. Remember, Jack Del Rio went for two. Michael Crabtree in the corner of the end zone to beat the Saints. Sean Payton. And fired the next day because Mark Davis and Bedane and the crew of the Raiders didn't like my tone when they weren't winning very much. And obviously that led us, I'd say that was the best thing that ever happened to us.
Yeah,
financially for sure, because over you know, a stretch of the next 5 years that they couldn't, besides like maybe Tolbert and Greg Papa, there weren't many people making more money than us in Northern California talking about sports. I'll promise you that. And we owned,
well, I heard some numbers from some morning shows, but back in the day, but
I'm talking in our region, not nationally.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah. So,
sorry to interrupt.
You know, we got to start this from ground zero and went through some bumps. Not me and you, but just the business side of it, learning. And then we kind of hit our stride. And I would say about 2019 had connects with advertisers. And then over time, it just grew and grew and grew. And I would say now in 2024, it's kind of crazy because, you know, obviously this is a pretty big Niner show. You know, the competition and just the amount of people doing kind of versions of what we're doing has grown incrementally. A lot of people got fired as well and joined our play. And even people that cover in terms of writers and stuff kind of do versions of this. So it's just, it's dramatically different, which is cool. I mean, I'm a big believer that, you know, legacy media, which I you know, consider not podcasts, more the radio and traditional stuff that we grew up on, isn't in trouble. I mean, they're fucked. I mean, it's over. And this isn't just the way that this is what it is now moving forward. Like, this isn't going anywhere. But, you know, the time, my big thing that I have a lot of, I think guilt's the wrong way. It's just life changes. And I think the amount of time that I had to, it takes a lot of time, right? Mm-hmm. This is not, I think, one thing a lot of people have learned. Everyone has a podcast over the last 5 or 6 years. A lot of people quit and fail and stop doing it because it's hard.
What do we say for a long time?
That this is, and I believe this to this day, this is not a passion project, which I think in one way is good. I mean, the older you get, you become numb and jaded when it comes to business and everything is so numbers and money driven. But also when I first got into this and worked in football and even got in radio with you, the money didn't matter at all. I mean, we didn't make anything. I made a fucking 60 grand to do a radio show in the Bay Area. You know, I made 20 grand to scout. I made a scholarship check. And then the older you get, just things change. People come into your life and just life changes. And you become, now everything is on the business side, which is not the reason that, you know, this is our business relationship is, I mean, shit, we've never signed a contract or never, you know, beside with other people that buy it on our contract, everything. we never even really discussed it. We just 50-50 partnership off and running. But I don't think we've ever had a conversation about like specific
not numbers or anything. Not that I remember. We report everything. It's legit. But
well, exactly.
There's, I mean, no.
We get 1099s.
That's the tax documents are basically the only paper trail that this podcast ever existed.
Yeah,
I would say.
For sure.
Yeah, and it's, you know, neither one of us was. At no point, I think I can speak for both of us, was there ever a thought like, oh fuck, we should have signed something with the other guy, right?
No, some other people we had those thoughts with. But those are great learning lessons. I mean, without this, you know, I don't know. I think you too, but you know, haven't received a W-2 since we left radio.
Yeah,
and I can't imagine the only W-2 I would ever have the rest of my life would be a W-2 for a company that I either owned or was a partner in. And still to this day, like it changed my mindset. It changed the way I approach life, and it's all because of this. Like I view financially the world dramatically different than I ever would have if I had just lived in the kind of the rat race that is just most people, because you never even know. And I'm not acting like we're some like born entrepreneurs here, but it just, sometimes you're forced into it and you don't really have a choice. And the other thing is, you know, there's a huge element of luck and timing of that this, when it happened. I mean, a lot of people in the history of radio or TV or whatever have been fired. It's not like every coach has been fired, but usually had to move forever, right? If you want to talk. And we were just kind of born in a time where you can kind of talk from wherever. And we were able to do it from our homes and, you know, special time.
Yeah. I mean, for people that are newish, this was not on YouTube until I was explaining to somebody the other day. Cause you know, you say to somebody like, oh, I do a podcast. Like, oh yeah, cool. So does every Uber driver. And so I was explaining to somebody the other day, like, no, I mean, this, we've been doing this since 2016. Like, we've bought homes, thankfully. Like, we're blessed, right? I don't think you use the word blessed, but lucky, whatever you want to call it. Like, this has been our income and a primary source of it. And the beauty is, continues to be, like, this channel, we should say it, like, we can keep going down memory lane and stuff, but this channel, what's happening is this channel remains and exists. It will have my name on it. The podcast feed will as well. If you want John, he has his YouTube channel and his podcast feed as well, 3 and Out. You know, we'll probably do some, I think we'll do some stuff again. Like, I don't think this is the last time we'll ever talk on a podcast. And it's certainly not the last time we'll talk, like, you know, I never had any doubt. We talk about like paperwork. I never had any doubt that if it had to end, it would end like this and not in like a ball of flames or something. So that's all good. And we've been talking about this. I would say we've probably, just to give people some background, we've probably been talking about this in some version for over a year, right? At least a year.
Yeah.
So for neither one of us, is it like any sort of surprise? And for some of you, it's not a surprise if you've been watching and like kind of paying attention.
Which most people have. And that's, you know, there's no easy way to do this.
Right.
This is a unique business where, you know, the only way it functions is when people talk, right? It's not one of those where you can just leave it and hire other people to do it. I mean, this is, that's the thing about like I would say the most powerful thing of the difference of this and radio, right? Forever, like WFAN or KNBR is going to have radio shows no matter what. It's not the Tom Tolbert
like hosts
or Greg Papa or, you know, Geo and Boomer. Like if those guys disappear tomorrow, two more people will be in those seats. The show goes on where Haberman and Middlecoff or Joe Rogan or Bill Simmons or whoever, Colin Coward show, if he's not there, it's not the same show. Right. And that's right. That's what makes this such a powerful medium, but also, you know, harder in the sense of it takes a lot of time. And it takes a lot of effort, which I really have nothing but appreciation for anyone who consistently does this because it's hard. It's not easy. Your life is, again, it, like as Belichick says, it beats being a plumber. It's not like I'm not acting like this is hard manual labor or anything, but it is very time intensive, and you can't shortchange and you can't not do the same amount. And at least where I was sitting, it was just I was no longer able to put in the same time as I was 10, 7, 8 years ago. And it's not going to do the same. Like, to me, everything suffers from that, starting, you know, with me, my fucking mind. And it's not, which sucks, but you know, it's hard. Like there's no way to kind of be half in and half out.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely not, I think we all agree with what you just said. Like, let's put aside for a second. It's not digging ditches and there's not dirt under our fingernails when we're done with it. But you, like, when you do it, you are the product, right? Unlike, say, a job where if you are not into it mentally that day, like, you can still run it and no one sees you, no one hears you, right? What you say and how you say it is not part of the day. Now your coworkers might,
yeah,
right? But I mean, we, you know, whatever, you're a cook, you're a pilot, I don't know. I don't want an angry pilot flying my plane or a tired pilot flying my plane. They got rules for that. There's no rules for tired podcasts. Well,
if you watch Flight, Denzel saved people's lives.
Was that the one where he was drunk? He was an alcoholic? Yeah.
Fantastic movie, by the way. Watched
it. Did you watch it recently?
A couple months ago. Yeah, a couple months ago because it was on Max. It was like one of their main movies. I'd never seen it. It's really good.
I just watched Dune. Have you watched Dune yet?
No, I've seen a lot of people talking about it.
Yeah, I knew you would hate the fact that everyone's talking about Dune. And I agree with you because it would look like, I thought it was like one of those Mad Max, which is not my thing. It is kind of Star Wars-y, which is not your thing. But then I saw everybody tweeting about Dune 2 the other day, and I watched Dune the other night. And I got to tell you, John, that Chalamet kid's got something.
Someone called it like the greatest movie they'd ever seen.
I don't know about any of that. That's an insane take. But whatever, you're allowed to think whatever you want. You know, I think... back to the show, like you said something nice about me earlier, in terms of like you were working for the Eagles as a scout and Chip Kelly came in and you liked he liked Matt Barkley and you didn't like Matt Barkley, right? That was the story.
I told that story to some young scouts, and one guy happened to be this guy named Chris Nolan, Mike Nolan's son.
No shit.
Great guy. Scouts for the Jets. Yeah.
Well, and, so that was the story, right? Anyway, you
all got a hoot out of that.
You were living in San Francisco. We can go like all the way back. You were living, yeah, in, living San Francisco. You moved, yeah, to San Francisco when?
Probably like the 10? Summer of 2012.
12. Actually, I should go further back. Well, no, we'll go there. So you moved
spring of 12.
Spring of 12. I'm working. You were working for the Eagles in Philly.
Yeah.
Before that, you were working at Fresno State. We lived together there. Before that, I went to Fresno State. John went to Cal Poly. If you're from the Midwest, neither one of those schools sounds like a, you don't know, you've never heard of either one of them.
So I always, well, Fresno people have. I always introduced myself and went to Cal when I was in Philly.
I was in Salt Lake City this weekend, and I had dinner with my buddy Curran, who is the director of basketball ops for Utah, and his fiance Morgan. They're both from Illinois. And she said, "Where'd you go to school?" I said, "Fresno State." And she just looked at me. He goes, it's like Utah State in California, because he'd worked at Utah State. She's like, "Oh, okay, cool." So I was like, "Take that." So before that, we met in probably like 2000, I would guess, right? Like sophomore year of high school. All right, so that's all the way back. Fast forward, John's working for the Eagles. I moved to the Bay Area late 2012. I start doing a radio show at night. And the A's pre and post game show, end of 2012. John's working for the Eagles into 2013. Chip, when's your last like month with the Eagles? Was it 13 or was it? It was 13.
Yeah, would have been fired the day after the draft. You know, like a Monday. Got a call from Howie Roseman.
So like March of 2013,
or like, yeah, so April, like April March 1st. March 1st.
Yeah. Well, no, the draft was later.
Excuse me, May 1st. Draft's May 1st. Usually late April.
2013. Yeah. 2013. Yeah. I remember the day they shut down your computers. You couldn't get all your data off your...
No, I couldn't get my iPad.
Couldn't get your iPad. So then what did you start doing then? Did you like write a Peter King thing? What is like to be a fired scout or something like that?
I think...
Because that's a long way from January when we started the
radio show. I
remember
having met Mike Silver on the sidelines, and I went to lunch with him, and he was good friends with a bunch of people at NBC Bay Area. So he kind of got me connected there.
Okay.
So I think I kind of got my foot in the door midsummer to go on to do stuff with Cozumel and Papa and those shows going on at the time. And I don't know what else I did. I honestly don't. I mean, that's a long time ago. Not much. I was just trying to do whatever.
And then I was doing a night radio show in the A's pre and post game show on a local radio station that Jason Barrett and Jeremiah Crow were running. And so I started having you on like at night. It must've been during football season. I don't remember like when exactly, but it must've been early. Cause then you started doing,
I think you had me on as a guest, maybe like before training camp.
Okay. But then it went well. Like it went well, and they started putting you on with like Greg Papa. Did you start the football hour season?
You had texted me maybe a couple days later and said that the boss had listened and he was going to reach out. He wants to meet you. And then I met him maybe on the phone. Maybe I met him for coffee. You know, Barrett loved those fucking secret meetings. And then he started
having
me on.
A block from the radio station by a window.
Then exactly. Then he had me on as like a paid guest. I don't know, a couple $100 a week. Like on the morning show, the afternoon show, and the midday show spread out throughout the week. And he gave me a Saturday college football show. I think I did during the
by
fall.
Yourself or with
No, I think with a couple other guys.
Yeah.
Forget the guy's name, dude that played football at Stanford for Harbaugh. I forget who the last one was.
Okay.
But kind of did something like that. So I was doing the NBC stuff and I kind of had. But I took it really seriously. Like I would drive into San Francisco for the hits, definitely with the morning.
Oh,
show.
That's right. I remember that. Yep.
And then I started doing the football. Then I started doing the football hour with Woodson and Romanowski.
And Romo. That's right. You were driving in, and I remember that's for like a 15-minute hit instead of calling.
Yeah.
And I remember always kind of chuckling because some people are like, what? You know, like you could smell it. You know, like you could smell that it was going well and it was working.
Well, one thing, it was like the highest rated segment in the morning, did really well. And within 2 months, we had a show.
Yeah, January. Right.
Again, none of this is all his idea. I mean, it's not like we're the
whose idea.
Program, right?
So anyway,
you were taking people's jobs. These guys hit us up hey, we're going to give you a show.
I started all this. This started with me saying I'm going to compliment. But like, who knows if you had not lost your Eagles job. And started doing radio, if you had not started doing that stuff, because you were still kind of trying to get back in the NFL, but like also wondering if you really wanted to grind the way you know, I remember you being, it was cool to be in the league, but sometimes it was a little miserable driving up and down the West Coast in your car. And grinding film. So who knows? Like if that had not happened, if Chip never gets hired in Philly, I might still be doing night radio. You know what I mean? Like I got off of the nights because they were like, we're going to pair you guys together. It goes well. Great. Thank you. So anyway, you said, who knows how you would have started if I wasn't there. Well, who knows what I would have done. And the other thing is like, I think I could say pretty confidently, I wouldn't have had the balls to just walk away from radio in 2016 and start a podcast if I wasn't in the position to do it with you, you know? So that whole little ecosystem kind of fed itself at the time.
Yeah, it's crazy looking back on. And then ironically, you know, several years ago, these people want us back and they can't afford us. it's not even about the money. It's not like there's no amount of money you could pay me to do radio ever again in that capacity. But it was an incredible learning experience. And I, like you, loved radio growing up, but the world's changed. And, you know, getting forced into this was incredible. I mean, there's no way around it.
Yeah, it was forced.
It was forced. Like not everyone is just like Gary V born that way, right? A lot of people that go in to work for themselves, sometimes it's just like you don't have a choice. You know, I would imagine that's the majority of people, right? Like something happens, you're like, I'll just do this. If it's not like a family business or whatever, and you realize, kind of good at this. Oh, I can make some money.
Had no other options was part of it, right?
Yeah. I don't really have, like you have options, like you can call games, right? Like you
I have like none. Someone has to, you still, I can't just go do it whenever I feel like it.
I know, but I'm saying you have an
like, ability. Do I have options? We're about to find out when it comes to play by play.
Something else, like you can call games and you have Major League Baseball, NBA, you could call an NFL game tomorrow with your eyes closed. I don't have that capability. Like this is all I got. You know, but seriously, like there's no backup plan or anything. And I think people, like, there's no animosity or anyone. I just want to make sure that like, this is just, it's just one of those things as the business landscape changed. And for me, like, I would say the biggest thing that changed over our time is our lives have changed, right? Just in terms of people involved. I actually don't live there anymore. I moved several years ago and, it's very time intensive to do what it takes. And if I can't dedicate the time, like I I'm a big believer in this and that's why it hurt me inside over the last year. It was just, we had to figure things out over time and we had some contracts that made sense to carry out that financially. It's just, this is a difficult situation. Like my dad was a part of a lot of businesses. You just move on, whatever. It's very easy. You sell the piece of land, you fucking sell the rights. You know, just, this is a little more complicated situation given the mechanisms for the business. It's a very unique business, I would say. The generated, you know, seven figures over about 2 year run.
Yeah. I mean, the life of it, over the course of the 10 years, I don't know if we should say, but I mean, I'm pretty confident that it, I haven't added it up, but it's been a seven figure endeavor.
Oh, not even close. I would say the last like 3 year stretch.
Yeah.
In 2020, 21 and 22.
Thanks to people supporting it too. I mean, like that's the other thing like we're talking about. This is about, this one's about me. Okay. And him, it's about us. But it doesn't, I think the radio experience gave us a lot of confidence.
We had a built-in people to listen. People obviously asked me, like, how do you start a podcast to get people to listen? I said, I don't know, because I always started having people that knew who the show was.
We had an audience ahead of time. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's something about getting fired from a radio station where it's like you're kind of like a renegade podcast, right? Like,
especially, let's face it, a lot of people that transitioned over didn't agree with that move, right? So it was people that supported us. Well, it's not like, sometimes people are fired, like, good riddance. Never read that guy again.
Yeah,
that was not the case. And it was also pretty well documented of, like, this wasn't just low performance. It was like, what's going on? And we didn't have anything to hide. So I think there was a story there. And people had, we had a built-in I mean, we had a 3-year stretch of being on the radio, me occasionally doing TV around there, you as well, like hosting shows for it. It was just, we had a unique situation to have like a landing strip that a lot of people that have started over the last several years, that I get a lot of DMs, people asking me questions. Like, it's very hard. How do I, I'm like, I don't really know what to tell you besides like try to market or whatever, but it's hard. It'd be very, very difficult to start from scratch, even if you were very entertaining and you were like, yeah, for the last 10 years, I've been, working at Morgan Stanley, but I got a lot of football takes.
I mean, I would recommend to that person, they do a financial football podcast, right? Like, find a niche. And one thing that a lot of the vision for what has driven this podcast, when this podcast, there are people who have come to this in the last 6 months or in the last year who think of it maybe as only 49ers content, and definitely only NFL content, right? But when it started, that was, even though it was not what it became, a lot of the decisions we made from a podcasting standpoint came from lessons we'd learned in radio. And the number one lesson that we learned that we applied to our show and radio was football. When in doubt, football. And there are people who do other things. There's a million other things you can do, right? But that experience in radio, because it went well, at a time when there was a lot more people listening to radio, right? Like, radio ratings were, if you follow local radio ratings, they were different then. The power dynamic was very different then. The station we worked at was trying to take on the big bad KNBR, right? 95.7 was a different dynamic. Things have changed. But
in the Bay Area specifically, you know, some of these Northeast cities are crushing. I just think in the Bay Area, the reaction of the impact of COVID is a lot different than a lot of these other cities. The progressive nature of cars, you know, had a huge, in terms of the day and age of the options. And let's face it, it's a pretty transient area relative to like Philly or Boston that do enormous radio ratings. The Bay Area has never been the same in the last 4 or 5 years, and they don't have a chance. And that's what, you know, was so exciting. It was like, I don't even feel like I didn't even look at them as competition. You looked at other people in the space as competition. And this is also the healthiest thing about, you know, a very competitive area. There's just a lot of people. I would say that's one of the more eye-opening things, is the amount of people that have come, you know, different. I mean, I don't know how many people have true podcasts, but definitely the YouTube world for people that talk about Bay Area sports, it's got to be one of the highest in the country.
Has to be. Yeah.
I would say the 49ers for sure are have to be the number one YouTube like people that talk about the 49ers. I don't think there's any NFL team. I bet there's a decent gap for like the Steelers or the Cowboys, the
Eagles.
Whatever. Yeah. I think the 49ers have that fucking, are in the lead.
Yeah. I mean, it feels that way.
It feels that way because it is that way. I mean, you and I follow this stuff pretty closely. I think it is that way. Like, if you just went like to a Yankees game forever when newspaper, and I guess back there, they're still rolling. Like, no one has more newspaper people that cover a team probably than the Yankees, right? That's what the modern version, I feel like, yeah, of the 49ers are with. What
now,
they were
now it's like, you know, maybe Shohei getting the Dodgers, that might be number one, you know.
Yeah.
But you're right, newspaper, no, maybe not. LA Times laid a bunch of people off, so.
Yeah, I would say, I'm just using them as an example, New York. Or if you just went to, like, the amount of people that cover the Eagles on a weekly basis. That's what it feels like with the 49ers, with like this modern day world of content creators, as they like to be called.
Yeah, I know. What else should we have? Oh, I'm not going memory lane here. I did pull two photos for those of you watching. One was, this was the old TV days.
God, I was fat.
My hair was too, I had not found a good barber at that point in time. But we did a lot of that. NBC Sports Bay Area. There's an old Vita Blue jersey in the background, John. And then this was a moment. I mean, we were there on the sidelines for the pick at the stick. Navarro Bowman, there he's running. And there we are. Chris Berman, not pictured. But those, I just pulled two out, two old picks. That was a good one. That was a, what year was that?
Well, he's the linebacker coach now with Harbaugh, with the Chargers.
That's a great hire.
That is.
KJ Wright to the Niners.
I mean, those Bowman was better than KJ Wright, but like you get told something in a meeting, and this is why I think Deuce Staley is such a good assistant coach, and Deuce was not as good of a player as Navarro was. Like, what are you going to say when he's like, that's just not good enough? I'm like, yeah, coach, like, you don't fucking know. No, I do. I starting all pro Super Bowl, me. People said in my prime, it was short, but I was just as good as Patrick Willis, who's in the Hall of Fame. That's me. And like a little like six rounders, like, shut up, coach, thinking in his head. You'd rather just have like the overachieving dude that played D7 than Bowman screaming at you.
Nick Sorensen. He was not a D7 guy, but I mean, he played Virginia the NFL. Tech. He had a real NFL career too.
Yeah, to me, I would put him with KJ Wright, Bowman. I mean, I think he was like a 4-year starter at Virginia Tech. He was like a real player.
I had a buddy. Did I tell you this? I've mentioned on the show that a buddy of mine who played with him in Cleveland texted him. Was like, that guy's awesome. Like, loves him. Just thinks he's really sharp.
Look at his. I mean, it's pretty clear who his first hire is, right?
KJ Wright. KJ was podcasting.
And he made a lot of money.
I know. Watched his podcast. I watched it. I'm like, all right, what are we getting here? Like some dude trying to do. And he wasn't. He was just like, it was not like some guy like trying to be something. He just was looking for an outlet.
Probably just bored.
Yeah. Bored. I think a buddy of his was like, hey, dude, you should do a podcast. And he's like, all right. And he did it.
I bet he's not even that old. He's 34 years old.
Yeah. Like, he's 10 years older than Purdy. Yeah. He's 10 years older than Penix. Like, that's what happens with these guys. Oh, the places ground beef from Butcher Box can take you. Ground beef is absolutely the go-to item in my freezer. Why? Because at a moment's notice, you're making bolognese, you're making enchiladas, you're making chili, you're making meatloaf, you're making hamburger patties, and we are entering hamburger patty season. I've been telling you about Butcher Box for years. High-quality cuts of meat. Amazing value. Find high quality seafood as well that you can trust delivered right to your doorstep with free shipping always. Today, ButcherBox is giving you, the listener, free ground beef for the life of your membership plus an additional $20 off your first order. Just use my link, butcherbox.com/ham, and use the code HAM to get free ground beef for life plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/ham. Code HAM. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app because it's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action. While you watch your favorite players in sports, you just pick more or less on two or more player stats, and then the fun is on. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball to hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. It's really simple to play. You make your picks, submit an entry in less than 60 seconds. I'll do it at halftime of a basketball game. And I also have some season-long more or less picks on MLB homers. You may remember, I've got less on Ohtani homers this year. We'll see. And at halftime of your next NBA blowout game, just jump on and go, Steph Curry more than 11 points in the second half. It'll change the game for you. Download the Prize Picks app and use the code HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. They say you're not supposed to give out multiple URLs in one ad, but for a great cause, you do it. Today's show is brought to you by Manscaped. Did you know? One man every hour, every day, is diagnosed with testicular cancer. In fact, testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer among men age 15 to 35. I did not know that. April is National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, and Manscaped is donating $50,000 to the Testicular Cancer Society. You can visit manscaped.com/TCS to learn how to check yourself for early signs of cancer. And, of course, use the code HAM for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. With this in mind, you can perform simple routine self-checks at home while enjoying the Manscaped products like the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. If you don't like making a mess, it's great because this thing is waterproof. Shave in the shower, shave in the ocean, shave in the hotel. Code HAM at manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping.
Have I told you recently about our good friends at Game Time? Here's the deal.
Go to your smartphone. Go to your iPad. Download a little app called Game Time, the fastest growing ticketing app in America. You can go to any event, sporting events, college or pro, concerts, comedy shows. Just download that Game Time app. You want to go to a Giants game? Bob Melvin back in the Bay Area. Matt Chapman, Blake Snell, they've loaded up the squad. If you want to go watch the Giants play, Steph Curry making a little playoff run. Concerts all summer long. Want to go watch something at Chase Center? Want to go watch something wherever you live? A concert, get outside, enjoy yourself. Use the promo code HAM for $20 off. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code HAM for your first purchase for $20 off your first pair of tickets.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So anyway, you know, the Tito's deal was a great one. If we're recapping some things that happened, we had some good things come from listeners. And one was Tito's. We had a listener named Devin who bought, we sold some hats. Actually looks kind of like the hat you're wearing right now. And thanks to everyone that bought those hats back in whatever, like 6 years ago, we sold some hats, 5 years ago, 5 years probably. They were not the greatest quality hats, but they were hats. They were merch. And somebody that bought them, his name was Devin. He worked for Tito's Vodka. We struck up a conversation, and we got a 4-year sponsorship out of it, right? Four or six? What did it end up being? Four? How many years was Tito's? 4 years.
Yeah, four.
4 years.
Yeah. 21, so, 22, 23. Maybe three.
Was it?
I don't know. Maybe
I thought we did 2 1-year deals and a 2-year deal, but I can't remember.
Yeah, three or four. Point. Minimum three, might have been four.
Feels like it should have been more than four, but maybe it was three. We've had, you know, people take us golfing. That's cool. Over the years.
Yeah, for sure.
Played some good golf because of you guys.
Been incredible.
You go back and look, you want to have some fun. I don't, you know, one thing is like this show, one thing we've never done really, John, is like, and I think it's partly kind of who both of us are, for better or worse. There are times where I wish I was that person who, like, you know, marks moments. Like, we never numbered our podcast. I don't know what number of podcast this is. It was never like, welcome to episode 152. It's our 1000th episode. So we never did any of that. And so that's why, you know, like when I said somebody left a comment earlier that said, like, I want to see some tears. You know, part of this is like, A, who we are is like, we find, I think like we find the opportunity in things, but B, we've been talking about this for so long that it's not like some new development for either one of us. And there have been, it was hard for both of us. Like, don't think because we're laughing about it, not laughing, but like having a good time today, that it wasn't hard, because it was. And, you know, for that, like, I'm thankful that I did this with you, somebody who I've got a good relationship with, who we can talk about things. I think we both, I think we both know really like how the other one thinks, how the other one's going to, what the other one's going to say to a degree when it comes to like just finding a common ground. And that stuff wasn't easy because like we've known each other over half our lives, really, when you think about it, or about half our lives. And for, you know, a quarter of our lives, almost over a quarter of our life at work together. So like all that's significant and it's not nothing.
Which I think made this very challenging.
Yeah.
In the sense of the emotional toll on something that honestly, when it comes to this stuff, and this, I mentioned this earlier, which is sad. The emotions around my life, I feel like I'm a different human at 39 years old than I was at 30 years old when it comes to emotionally being like the way I viewed professional, like how emotionally tied I was to everything professionally. And as you get older, and I think this part of this is getting out of the W-2 life and everything's about dollars and revenue and deals. And you just see how quick things go and come. And you just get so numb to everything. It's like when you meet these older business people and they're just so numb to it all, which sucks because the reason you get into this, at least I'm speaking for myself, is from a sports fan. Like, listen, like people are like, aren't you a diehard Niners guy? Like, I don't look at it dramatically different than I once did. And
you do or you don't?
I do look at it differently than like the joy I get as a fan. Now, one thing I think really helped, and I think this is a huge reason that I think a lot of legacy media is in so much trouble, is as we did this, like I no longer really went to games. Like when I went to games, I like sat in the stands, and there was part of when we did the radio, which is natural, you get these media, but you just kind of get out of touch with the people that are everything. The fans for us, for the teams, for the leagues, pay for everything. Without them, there is no business. It does not exist. I mean, the reason the NFL makes so much fucking money is the television networks are willing to pay so much money because the amount of people willing to watch. The reason all these people like Joe Rogan can make $200 million because of the millions of people that listen to his show. If 50,000 people listen to a show, he wouldn't make the money he's making. It all gets back to the consumer. And because of our experience doing this and being so hands-on, like we were the operation from editing to selling to doing it all, you get such a different perspective that I never had when I was in radio. I didn't talk to the sales guys when I was in radio. Never even, I didn't know what I didn't know. I think a lot of media people fall under this category. It's just no different than a lot of people. If you're an employee somewhere, it's hard to truly understand the other side. But once you are the person that like sees where everything's coming from, it gives you a different perspective, and it changed my life. And I think it changed the way I view everything in a positive way. And I just think that this, like through this, which is good and bad. Like it made me very numb to everything I do, whether it's, you know, negotiating with Colin or you or whatever. It's all just business. You know, it's fun to talk about or whatever, but this is our business. Like if we fucking sold insurance or sold money like a bank, it's all this is. I mean, at the end of the day, we get to talk about something that a lot of people think is cool, but this is like, I feed my unborn children. I mean, this is like the only skill I got, and which is kind of sucks. Like you lose touch. And that's why I do think it's very important. Why I still like going to games. If I am going to go to a game, like sit in the stands.
Yeah.
Now, good seat. But, you know, and I think a lot of people, it's always something I would recommend, you know, and I think a lot of the older, you know, like the writers or whatever, and it's not their fault. This is how they've always done it. There's such a separation. And I think that you can lose touch with, you're right, like the people are why this all exists. The people watching, the people attending, they are the heartbeat of everything. The whole umbrella of the business of professional sports. And now more and more in college sports, because everyone's getting paid NIL. That's a little more complicated. But like, obviously the money from college sports, like why do all these teams have all this money? Because the television deals. Well, why are the television deals high? Because people are watching. That's where this all gets back to. And those people are who we talk to, essentially.
Yeah. People who feel like after 10 years, they know you. After 6 months, they feel like, you know, they know you. They do.
That's the other thing.
We've talked to you.
It creates an intimate relationship with people.
Well, you and I have spent, when you really think about it, and I don't even know how to begin to do the math on the amount of hours That's the other thing that we haven't said yet, right? Is just the amount of time we've invested in this. It's a lot. It's a lot of hours we've spent talking to each other off of the podcast and to everybody listening, right? It's I couldn't even begin to guess how many hours we've talked. And it's funny because people will remember, they'll say something to you like, I don't remember that. Is that what I said? Was that my take? Like, it's kind of hard to keep track of. You can't possibly. And, you know, I mean, I think that part of the reason it worked was because it was good. Like, I couldn't imagine, and this used to happen and still does all the time in radio. I could not imagine, John, being told like, all right, we're putting you, it's Haberman and Henderson. Here's your, meet your new partner. John Henderson. I'd be like, I've never had to do it. I could not imagine doing the amount of content we've done with somebody else who's just like, who you didn't want to do it with, right? I couldn't imagine
Which is the business.
Couldn't imagine it.
Yeah.
It's most business.
Yeah. And well, it's that's most business. And honestly, I haven't been in that business now in, you know, going on a decade. And that's the thing. I can't relate. I can't even fathom that. Like I didn't work in it long enough and I only did it with you. And then I've just been podcasting where I've controlled everything, whether I'm either doing it with myself or you, that I don't even like, I can't even relate to that. And sometimes like just at the combine or I'm sure you saw at the Super Bowl, like sometimes it's hard to relate. Honestly, I met a lot of young scouts that I was like, God, these guys work so hard. I know the time. And then you have a couple cocktails and they tell you, yeah, I'm, you know, married a kid and paying me $80,000. I'm like, this is insane. You know, it's just the amount of work you
do. To never be home.
And again, it's not a bad life, but relative to the amount of work. And that's what can be tough. And you realize like, I can't even relate to that anymore. And that feels like a different lifetime ago. And I think like anyone, you know, you should evolve and change as time goes on. It just complicates, you know, people have always said to be careful about doing business with your friends. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine it can be true, but it also can be very positive through the good and the bad. It's much easier to have conversations, you know, as things happen, like I said, good and positively and negatively in whatever you're doing. And this is unique because our whole business is talking. It's not like we had employees like, you know, filling pallets and something got lost. I mean, it's an outlier business. It's not really relatable to most industries that way.
I'm glad you brought that up because the lesson, I think, we'll see. Maybe I'll ask me again in 10 years. Maybe I'll have a different opinion. But one of the lessons of the last 10 years for me is the opposite of what that conventional wisdom is. Don't do business with your friends. I only want to do business with my friends. My goal for the rest of my life is to do as much business with my friends as possible. I don't, from that standpoint, it was such a positive experience, you know, that's been my takeaway. I don't know what somebody else would tell you. Maybe other people have had different experiences. Maybe you should put something on paper. Maybe probably good advice. We're not, but that's, you know, I think
doing business with people you trust is hard to find, right? It can be very difficult. And whether that's a friend or whether that's an acquaintance, like to me, that would be the number one rule, which is not like you don't know when you're getting into business with someone if you don't know them that well.
It
can be difficult. I was listening to this podcast the other day. It's like, you know, Warren Buffett says no to 99% of people. And he said yes to Jimmy Haslam and the Haslam family. And it's like his biggest regret.
Did not have a relationship pre-existing with him, or he did?
I think they had a lot of mutual friends. And like one of his superpowers is being able to go to a meeting, you know, when he's intrigued and be able to kind of, yeah, this guy's not for me. Like he's very good at like, no chance. And I don't know if he was duped, if they changed, but it's been a very, very ugly marriage for a company that he invested in with Flying J. And I don't think it's just Jimmy, it's the family. Mm-hmm. And he invests in a lot of family businesses. I think it's been a disaster. So it's like, you're never going to be, you're always going to, you know, you're never going to bat 1,000. But, and the one thing talking about the numbing of not being as excited about sports, that's not, I still enjoy watching the games as much as ever and the excitement that goes around the league. And this is what I always tell anyone for advice. No matter what you do, whether you're Andy Reid and you're coaching football, or whether you're the guy, you know, fucking ripping out my bush, if you Pardon? Like what you're, if you like, not my, you know, no, like bushes in front of my house. If you like what you're doing, because no matter what you do, it becomes a job. I don't give a shit whether you're the shortstop for the Yankees or the fucking plumber. The monotony of life and work, it just becomes that. It helps when you like what you do. And that would always be my number one advice. You're gonna get jaded over time. You're not gonna look at it the same when you're 50 that you did at 20. But when you are passionate about it, it 100% helps.
Yeah, I mean, it makes it, you know, if your sacrifice is I need to take notes during the Super Bowl, right? That's I can stomach that sacrifice.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's like when you think about the last decade, like that's what it. Right. It was Sundays. A lot. Mondays. And those were things we learned early in the podcasting business from a couple guys who got us started in podcasting. But what?
Well, I just think a lot of people, you know, a lot of people that I know at Cal Poly that have done well, because as we graduated in 07, 08 range, a lot of people went to work for these tech companies and did really well in their lives. I mean, you look on it, I'm not saying they're like perfectly happy behind closed doors, but a lot of vacations, a lot of different life. You know, I mean, it's just a lot of stuff going on that, you know, when you do this, you do like there's football. Like I don't really do much besides maybe golf on Friday in the fall, but there's just a lot of football going on Thursday through Monday, which again is not the worst, but there's a lot of saying no to people and, you know, yeah. Your life, and you got to be, it helps when you're like, I'd rather say no, but I mean, it's part of,
yeah, it's
harder and harder the older you get. Yeah.
Sports happen on Saturday, college football and the NFL.
And you don't make very much money, like to start off. Like you got to be, it's why a lot of people, you know, I had a family friend that reached out to me and asked me for advice on how to get into the industry. And it was really hard. I'm like, yeah, it's going to be hard to break in no matter, I don't know exactly whatever, you know, role you're trying to make. And the other thing you got to be willing to do is not compare yourself, which is much more difficult in 2024, if you're a 22-year-old or 25-year-old with social media, but your life is not going to be like some of your friends that are working just real, quote-unquote, real jobs. And you might not make a lot of money for a long time. And he was like, well, I got this job offer from, I forget, it was like Morgan Stanley or Citi. I'm like, here's what I know. If you accept that job, you're never coming back. Because if your starting salary, Citigroup, is 110 grand and you're 25 years old, within 5 years, I don't know how much money you're going to be making, but you're going to be making so much more than you ever could getting back in with one of these teams. And who knows? Maybe you'll have a wife and a kid by then. It's never changing. So just know, like, we never had, like, there weren't any other options. Like Chip Kelly once said, burn the boats. It wasn't even another, I didn't have another option. This was it. From football to this, like, this is all I've had. There was no, like, you know, maybe I should look at, see if Chase Banks got some options. And that gets back to the passion thing and the, you know, liking what you do, even if you become jaded a little bit because it becomes your business, it does help, you know, to love everything about it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like we didn't really start this March 5th show with any particular intention of what to talk about. But if we're talking about advice, I mean, understand that both of us worked for like more than a decade before we started working together. Right. So we've had the show for a long time. It took us a long time to get to having just a daily radio show in San Francisco. Right. I remember my first contract was $24,000. I was doing a lot of stuff for that. I was working a lot. I was working 6 days a week for that $24,000. Now, that was a long time ago. $24,000 wasn't shit then, but it's less now.
That was probably 40 now or whatever, but still it's nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. But like the point is, like, before it even got to a point where it could then maybe become something else, it was a long time of making nothing. Whatever. That's not even advice. That's just backstory.
Yeah. So
Should we get to some comments here, John?
Yeah.
Carl Zion, $5, super chat. The Niners lose the Super Bowl and I lose ham in a month. I'm sick. Been listening to you both since the pandemic. Thanks for the great contact. Go back and look at some of the, we didn't start doing YouTube until the pandemic. Go back and look at some of that original YouTube content. Go back to the beginning. It's a pretty, you think this looks low budget? Wait till you look at that shit. The cameras were a lot worse back then.
One thing I think that really resonates in this with our generation, and it's going to moving forward, that I think used to feel a little different and wasn't as important, and it was maybe easier to lie to people is the wrong way to put it, but you could fake it a little bit, is authenticity. Mm-hmm. And that's the one thing I've loved about this space that just didn't quite, I mean, it kind of did it in a radio and got me fucking kicked out of town, but like just being able to say whatever you want to say. Right. I mean, you just, there are no, nothing even crosses your mind that, you know, I shouldn't say this. Right. I mean, I'm not, obviously if you have a personal relationship with someone or, but
you are your only filter though. Right. Nobody can force a filter.
No. And I think that really, really resonates with the people that consume this world. And that's what they want, and that's what they yearn for, and rightfully so. I mean, I view myself really as a consumer first who happens to do this. Like I consume a lot of content, and that's what I like in people. And I think it's pretty clear that's why certain individuals have become so successful. I mean, I think it's a driving, obviously, Portnoy, who became, you know, I would say one of the biggest internet sensations of our life in terms of this space. Bill Simmons as well is just an unfiltered nature, and that's what ultimately people yearn for, and that's what, it's harder and harder in the other spaces because you're in bed with these teams that have a different, rightfully so, agenda and can be insecure about things that are said, even though anyone knows, like, I don't think it matters, like it doesn't, no one cares.
Every you know, PR person tells me we want to control the narrative.
I'm just like, Jesus, the narrative.
Their own PR people don't talk that way. But like, you know, if you go talk to like a big PR firm, like it's about controlling, you know, we're going to manage, we're going to control.
You know who doesn't give a shit? And I saw it firsthand. The Chiefs.
Bill Belichick.
Well, Bill does. I mean, have you watched any of the Dynasty? They're crushing them. Jonathan Kraft said.
Well, the Dynasty is getting crushed because of how bad it makes Bill look.
Well, Jonathan Kraft basically said, yeah, it would have been cool. Even if he murdered him, like just kept him on the team. Like, I don't think that's true, buddy. Jonathan Kraft was, I can't look at the guy the same after the Aaron Hernandez episode.
What
even
episode
Robert
was,
like,
get,
you know,
I didn't get to that episode. I watched episode.
Robert was like, yeah, if you did kill him, I was going to go to him and just be like, be honest with me. I'll help you get a defense attorney.
Javier says, was truly amazing hearing both of you giving us your true opinions, even though it hurt us as Niner fans when it came to Lance and Purdy. No hot takes, just flat truth. Wish both of you the best. CJ says, Russ voice, it was a good ride. I like this one. Taylor says, how am I as a Chiefs fan supposed to have an unbelievably in-depth knowledge of a team I don't care about? You just apparently listen to the show. That's why I hope non-Niner fans know it's for them too. Joseph, I've been watching for 5 years now. You guys are a huge Niner fan here in New York. Went through some life stuff. You're both pretty positive during it. Just saying thank you and best of luck to you both. Wow, that's very nice.
Thank you, Joseph.
Give us one more. Rank the most handsome coach and QB duo in the league. I mean, there will be, I don't know if we'll end up doing, we always love doing the coaching photo from the league meetings.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we'll do. I don't know. It doesn't really do well on YouTube, that bit, you know, but it was always fun for us.
And it's hard on radio when you can't see it or podcast.
You know. Yeah. But I don't know. Maybe we just do one for fun. Isaiah says, firing up an episode always brightened up my day. Bad days for me. I even got through a whole 13-hour tattoo listening to the show. Cheers to a dynamic.
Tattoo, geez.
Yeah. Wow. Jesus. I don't. You're tough. So anyway, thanks for a few of those.
This isn't going away, right? I mean, I know you mentioned that earlier, some new people here. This is going to continue. Like this channel, you will keep doing content.
this channel will have a different name, which, you know, for now, the podcast feed will, it'll just look, I'm just going to change. It'll just say like Haberman. I'm not sure. It, just so it looks kind of the same. So people at least recognize that one of the people is still the same person they knew. What I ultimately call this YouTube channel and the podcast feed, we'll see. I like this comment. Which one's Middlecoff again? Which one's Haberman? But anyway, yeah, that's, it's a, this is my channel now, right? And
yeah,
the promo code for a lot of stuff, still going to say ham.
So honestly, it's the easiest promo code of all time.
Yeah. And, you're still going to do the game time read. So people can, if that, that still exists.
You want to get to a giant, you want to get to a Giants game, Melvin, they signed Matt Chapman. Right around the corner. Game time promo code AM, $20 off. Tickets can't be that expensive.
We didn't do a lot of shave it or save it, but that was a that was a good bit that should have taken off more, I think.
It's hard because a lot of people are insecure about it. You know, it's one of those where you got to be willing to put yourself out there. And, you know, when you're in that mode of kind of hanging on, you're not exactly you're kind of hiding.
Right. We could blur your face out. I mean, if we could stack up like 10 of those, maybe we would start a separate channel. That's just that, a men's hair channel, insecurity channel.
Sponsored by some product that doesn't work.
Yeah, sponsored by like, it'd have to be some company that does both hair product and like things for bald guys, you know?
I think one thing everyone should be in this, I don't want to say this hurt us, but for a long time, DraftKings was a big sponsor because they fantasy was big and they could see the horizon coming. And for whatever reason, you know, California, I don't know if it's going to be on the ballot this fall. I hope it is, you know, it has been one of the rare states. Like, it's not like liberals versus Republicans on this one, New York, Philly. I mean, a lot of these left-leaning states are ripping when it comes to gambling, and Illinois and California is just anti it. It's literally just free money. It's literally just free money. And I'll never forget a couple years ago. I mean, sports writers were like, no, no gambling. It'll kill the fucking homeless. Like what? I don't even know how. I remember the messaging in 2020 is like, what are we talking about? And that is a problem because the money is flowing for that, and California is just anti it. And I think a large reason, you know, the Indian casinos have really pushed back against it. And listen, this is all politics is money. Who can fund more? But that's something that would be a game changing thing, because that went away for us a couple years ago, mm-hmm. and rightfully so. I mean, they couldn't. There's no gambling, no DraftKings. And they're ripping, and they don't promote fantasy sports anymore. So anyone that, if it's on the ballot, vote fucking make it legal. I'm telling you, living in a state, it's incredible
for us, for me.
Yeah. Nothing burned my gears more than that one.
Yeah, that was a bad one. That one hurt the sponsorship bottom line. I think we did. We did my bookie for a while. That's the other thing. We've had a lot of sponsors. You guys have supported sponsors, so that's been cool. Thank you. And
we were not cheap to deal with. You know, so we need you guys.
We had a few pitches where we probably asked for more than
we're aggressive.
But we asked for what it was going to take to make it worth our time. You know, so no regrets on that one. But you know, sponsors are open. You got a company. Let's send me a message. The point here is like, I'm going to keep doing it on this channel because there is money dedicated moving forward on the podcast. And because I want it to make money, to continue to make money. I promise you this, like if it's not making money, you won't see me every day or multiple times a week. So, you know, that's, to go back to John's original point, like this is it's a lot of time and I like it, but I do it. I've been doing it every day for a while now because it has a financial benefit to it. You know, I'm not running an insurance company on the side or this is not my hobby either, right? It's not your hobby. It's not our hobby. We enjoy it, but it's not a hobby, as Kevin Kisner once said.
Ain't no hobby. Clearly not his hobby either. He's probably headed to the booth here very soon.
Hey, question. So I watched a little Liv on Sunday on the CW.
Yeah.
And I've clicked on it before. Is the image always that shitty? Like, does it always look like it's using bad satellites or something? Is that just me?
I think it has to do with CW, the channel.
I don't think it does, John. No, because I've watched.
You know better than me.
Yeah, I don't think it has to do with the channel. I don't know. It's weird. If you watch Sabrina the Teenage Witch or some shit, CW has college football games.
I watched Drake May this year on it.
I don't think it looked like that, did it?
Could it be that they were in Jeddah in Saudi Arabia or wherever they were?
I don't know. But it's expensive to have stuff look good anyway.
I think one issue for them is one of their goals, because they kind of got asked out of all these courses in America, is go worldwide, right? Saudi Arabia. Now they're going to Hong Kong. They're going to Australia. In 2000, it's one thing in 1987 when no one had the information it's on. It feels live. It's not ideal to not be live. You know, there's a feel
that shit's not live.
No, it was all tape delayed because they were playing in the middle of the night.
Oh, yeah, makes sense.
Middle East.
Yeah.
I think a lot of these guys, I saw Marty Smith did a sit down with Rom, like right down the street at Silverleaf, like the Sweet Country Club. If your entire business model is getting the best people to just go, yeah, man, I just couldn't turn down the money. Like, even if it's like I joined the Yankees, but then I leave to go to the Red Sox, it's like, listen, team was good. It wasn't just about the money. Like, I want to win here. It happens a lot in sports. Like, obviously, I got a lot of money, but I think we can win here. They don't even say that. It's like Rom's is like, yeah, I couldn't turn down the money. Like, that's the worst endorsement you could have. Like, none of these guys give a fuck.
Right. And it looks like it when you watch them. Now, call me an old man, John, but I see you in shorts. I know whatever you're doing doesn't matter as much to you. Tell me that rule doesn't apply to anything but basketball.
What do you do that you put on? Well, you golf in shorts.
Yeah, you and I golf in shorts,
but everyone does, including them, except Thursday through Sunday on a golf tournament.
Right.
Because I do think things change. For example, basketball for our entire lives, eighth grade basketball coaches wore a jacket and a tie. It's like, what are we doing? And
you know why they did that?
No one notices. No.
The reason all these guys went, I had a basketball coach explain this to me a few years ago because I didn't know. He's like, the reason we did it in like the late 80s, whenever it was that they started dressing better, he's like, because the Basketball Coaches Association decided if we're ever going to like make more money and become like guys that do corporate ads and like all that type of shit, like we can't look like gym teachers. That was their thing. Like everyone looked
at
us.
That makes sense.
So like from a business standpoint, like we decided as a coaching, college coaches, not NBA coaches, as like a coaching, they're not a union, but you know, a group, a collective, the National Association of Basketball Coaches. Like we got to dress better. And now it's come so far where, you know, the times have changed, but there was a reason for it. Some
Steve
guys still
make $18 million a year. Like, hey, I'm good.
Mick still wears suits, but I think it's just because he's got all these suits. He's got to wear them. He spent all this money on suits, Mick Cronin. I flipped that one on, John. There's nobody there. There's not a soul at that event.
No.
Anyway,
I saw someone did a still shot of like, they gave John Rahm $300-400 million. He's probably the best player in the world, and seven people are watching him on hole six. It's like, it's sad.
What's his team name?
Legion 13 or something.
Okay.
I think the last event they had, I forget where it was, snapped at someone for like taking a picture, and they're like, John, fucking T-Pain's in the background slamming. You're not allowed. Like, but he's so ingrained. Like,
sure.
No pictures. You know, it's like, bro, this is everything goes here now. You know, it's just muscle memory.
Yeah, it just shows you, like, to your point, he didn't buy into the whole thing. He just like took the money, right?
Just took the money.
He didn't buy into like, yeah, we gotta democratize golf. I'm like, no, he just took the money.
Well, that's anyway. One of my things with the way baseball is working. It's broken. You can't have player movement is a huge part of team sports. NASCAR, fucking F1, whatever. And to have this situation where it's just a complete disaster. Yeah, cool for Scott Boras. Awful for everyone else. Like, you shouldn't have people in March like signing big name guys.
Right.
It's just, it's broken. That's what I know. Even the NBA, who has a lot of issues, when free agency starts, they all sign within 24 or 48 hours. Honestly, most of them already signed. Woj was just banging out the tweets. You can't have like, wait, who's still available? Oh, like three all-stars and two other guys that are high-level players.
Well, they're the extreme to the other end, right? Like, wait, this future Hall of Famer's on a sixth team, right? Like, that's a little too much, right? You need guys to stay on a team. The NFL, you know, it's another area in which they have it dialed, which is their stars, for the most part, change teams maybe once, right?
Only if the team wants them to change teams, right? If I want a guy,
yeah, I mean, Tyreek leaving Miami. I mean, Miami.
But they were cool. Like, they were like, we're not paying you this.
Well, I mean, because he was going to be so expensive, right?
But if they truly wanted it.
But if it was uncapped, if the sport was uncapped, would Tyreek Hill still be on the Chiefs?
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. But even he's an exception.
I think if they truly were like,
yeah. Yeah.
I think they were like, you know, older player.
Can we win a championship without him? The answer is yes.
Two.
Those,
like, ultimately, the 49ers, if they want Brandon Ayuk, they can keep Brandon Ayuk. If they think that they get better value by trading him, they will trade him.
Yeah, any takes after being at the combine for a week? My prediction on that, have we talked about this? I think he's playing on the 5th.
I really do. Like, all these guys not going. It's like the 49ers have missed on draft picks pretty recently, right? The Purdy draft is an abomination. Ty Davis Price, Drake Jackson, Danny Gray. I mean, those are three really high picks. Trey Lance, I mean, if Russell Wilson's the worst trade of all time, Trey Lance is one of the worst draft picks of all time when you factor in the draft compensation, and you could argue it's the worst. Like, I do think, Kyle, you have a pick. You have several picks, a first and second rounder. Same with McVay, your first rounder forever. Don't you want to go and just introduce and just meet these guys? Even if it's just for a couple days, just go to the meeting.
Once you meet them, though, when you do like official visits or whatever you call it.
Why wouldn't you want to meet them in every step of the...
Yeah, I saw, you know, Lynch said, you know, one thing the pandemic taught us, we can be on Zoom, whatever. Me personally, the less Zoom, the better. Like, I don't think Zoom replicates being in person with somebody. And you know what I hate, John? I fucking hate if I'm watching like a movie or a TV show and they've got like a Zoom scene. Like, get that. I don't want to see Zoom. I don't want to see it. Like, get it out of here. I don't want to look at it. It's just bad. And I agree with you. I don't think it's a substitute for seeing somebody in person. It's good. You're like 99% or 95, probably not 99, but it's not really a substitute.
Yeah. And I don't think it's a coincidence that
you think it's
McVay, Shanahan, or I mean, kind of too cool for it.
What do you mean? What's the coincidence? You don't think it's a coincidence because they're too
cool? Well, it's those three guys, right?
What are you saying? Because, like, they know each other? They come from the
same school? It's like, what was the point of this? What was the point of fucking the guy that just won three of the last five? Who's fucking at these meetings? Who's been in the league for 40 years? Belichick, 1975, so the Kraft's ruined his career. Now, he obviously was bad too, but you know what I mean. I would imagine from 75 till 2023, Bill Belichick never missed a combine. Pete Carroll was always there. Like, there's some value there. And there's some stupid parts that if you don't want to do the press conference, I get it. Here's the other thing that was pretty consistent that everyone keeps saying about Kyle and Sean. The dog and pony show of parading us around. You guys think you have 15 million you make? That's what, like, those guys think. That it's like the commercialization of it all. I talk all the time anyway. Where do you fucking think your 15 million comes from? Like, it's more than just like calling the plays on third down, guys. Like, you're...
If I were to defend Kyle, if I were to be the devil's advocate here, I'd say Kyle just talked every day for like 2 weeks. He just went through the Super Bowl. He's a high strung guy. Take a break. Let John Lynch do it. Like, John Lynch doesn't need you there. John Lynch might even prefer to not have you there. Just get a break from you. Right. Let me and my personnel guys go through this. Then we'll tell you what we think. But let us independent of you.
But ultimately, he's the guy that has to give yes or no. So that's like Mike McCarthy. If I wanted to defend Mike McCarthy, I go, he has no pull in the draft room. Whenever you turn on the combine and they show the Cowboys box, it was Steven there taking notes. Like, I would understand, like, okay, you want me to go. Ultimately, you guys are picking the players. Like, ultimately, Kyle, I know you're picking the guy.
But I think you could.
You have
I
to
think
give Kyle, thumbs up or thumbs down. I'm talking high. I'm not talking the fourth, sixth, seventh rounder. I'm talking about your first and second round picks. We have seen you recently. Your first round pick is the worst first round pick of all time. I mean, you gave three fucking first round picks, and he's not on your team 2 years later. And then the following year, when you have some picks, second and third rounders, they all fucking stink. And it was like the margin why you lost the Super Bowl was like, God, one extra player or whatever would have made the impact. Andy's there with Veach introducing, and last I checked, I'm fucking hitting on all these guys. I'm not saying this is the end-all, be-all. I'm just saying it's little things that matter. It's the little things that matter. Chiefs, every single night during the week of the playoffs, overtime rules, overtime rules, overtime rules. Mike Frazier, overtime rules, overtime rules. He even went to Andy, either the AFC Championship or the Super Bowl, like, Coach, we've gone over this fucking two straight weeks. These guys are going to get bored. And he's like, I don't care. Go up to the front of the room and do your spiel. Again, I am pro Kyle Shanahan. I think Andy Reid thinks he's a fucking awesome. Like, he's clearly really good. We're talking tiny little margins. You're competing against the best of the best.
Right.
This guy's the fat Bill Walsh. That's who you're going. And unlike Bill Walsh, the one thing Andy and Belichick do, no mental breakdowns. Like, Bill tapped out in 89. And Bill only tapped out because he was forced out. Andy's like, well, I ain't retiring.
Yeah.
These guys, so it's like you're going against guys that want more.
Well, I don't think Kyle's about to tap out, but it does seem like Kyle is closer to needing somebody to force him to take a break, Walsh style, than Andy and Bill, right? And now maybe part of it is like those guys have got their championships, and so it's a little easier to maybe not have it wear on your mind the way it seems to wear on Kyle. But
I don't know. I mean,
that's a separate conversation than the combine thing. I'm just saying, like, Kyle is wound. He's closer to Bill than he is to Andy in terms of how tightly he's wound. Would you agree with that?
I think all these guys, I mean, there's a stress of being the coach for sure that Andy just eats it. Kyle wears it differently.
Kind of some of those nuggies.
Yeah, the stress is real. Like, that's part of the job. I mean,
Suggesting that Andy's out here freewheeling it.
No. I mean,
he's as prepared as the next guy.
You choose a little bit, like you can work on that stuff, which I'm sure he does. Cause that was a big thing with McVay. Like, it's like, I'm going to have kids coming. Like, a lot of coaches have had a lot of kids. You know, it's like, I mean, Belichick's
actually,
kids,
they
like
have
30.
More kids than the average family coaches.
Yeah. So it's like,
we're talking little margins. Kyle's a chip off the old block. It definitely feels like you and I didn't cover Mike Shanahan, but it definitely feels like he's a chip off the block.
Yeah. I mean, all I'm saying is I don't think going is like the craziest thing where you also can avoid. You do not have to do the press conference. You don't have to do it. Most coaches did not.
It's also a pretty painless 12 minutes.
That's the other thing. It's pretty easy. Yeah. Hey, Kyle, most people are going to jerk you off at that thing. You were just in the Super Bowl. You know where it's hard? If you're like Doug Peterson walking up there or Brian Daboll or – I don't know, most of these guys, right?
Their media, it's like that nobody's there for that at the combine, you know?
I saw Mayoko and Barros having a long talk with Balky.
Oh, in person you saw them.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
He was there roaming around.
Yeah.
Hey guys. Hey, I know I recognize you guys.
Yeah. Gold-blooded said, can we get an old I'm Guy, I'm John or Hey Behaves, Middlecoff? I don't think so.
No.
Hey Behaves, Middlecoff. I mean, that's how we used to start the show and then we stopped. But I appreciate you wanting it. But I think it stopped because we were like just kind of over it. And so we stopped because we didn't want to fake it. So I wouldn't want to fake it, I don't think, unless you wanted to. You're more than welcome to yell it out, but.
We haven't been doing that for a while.
No, we haven't done that for a while. We had music for a while. We killed that at the beginning of the show. We didn't have it. We did have it.
Did the story on Sorensen and the defensive coordinator break in the middle of the night?
Yeah. I think it would have been probably like 4 a.m. Pacific. because I was in, where were you on Saturday? Were you back home?
Arizona, yeah.
So I was in Salt Lake City on mountain time. I woke up just fucking sweating my balls off in this stupid hotel room. And I couldn't go back to sleep. And so I checked my phone after, not immediately, but like after a while. And it was like, I want to say it was like 5 o'clock that I saw it. And it had been up for like an hour, maybe 45 minutes. Maybe I saw it at 5:30 and it had been up.
Maybe Adam's at the combine, Schefter and Parag and John are there. They tell him.
Yeah. I mean, it was probably 7 o'clock Eastern when he, I think is when that went out. I could be wrong a little bit, but yeah. Why do you have a,
well, I just woke up to the picture and the first thing you see is Brandon Staley. And you're just,
you had a great, did you tweet, was that you tweeted, right? Like for a second, I thought Brandon Staley was the coach. And then I realized,
well, that's the first thing you think because your eyes go right to him and it says breaking and you can't really, and then everyone's like, oh, what is your, it's like, oh, well, there is a fine line of announcing a guy as your defensive coordinator, which they did not, and completely making up a position and making a guy a position coach. You and I have been to enough practices. There are 700 coaches out there.
Right.
A lot of people, including myself, made fun of Anthony Lynn when he was the head coach. Then he becomes a position coach, assistant head coach. What the fuck does that mean? Like it means nothing beside make you look better. And I would say a pay raise, but I would imagine he's got one more year with the Chargers, so the Niners aren't even paying him anything. I'm not like moved emotionally by naming him some fake position coach. If he had been named the defensive coordinator, that would have been insanity. But Kyle went with a guy that was on staff who's a well-accomplished player, obviously was with Pete forever. No one kind of, I would say, not very famous in the sense of like people talked about him at practice a lot. But that's a lot of assistants if you're not – you know, for Kyle, D'Amico was a famous guy, so he was there with Robert Saleh. And Kasurek, because it was pretty well established, he's like one of the highest paid assistants in the league, and their defense is, their line's good, is well talked about. But if you think about an offense, who do we often talk about a lot with Kyle? Like his young little minions that are coming up, whether it started with McDaniel or LaFleur, and then Slowick and Kubiak and Brian Greasy, guys that you feel like are right there with him. But there are a lot of other assistants out there that you never even get mentioned that you don't really notice. But if he named one of those guys his coordinator, they become a bigger deal. And I'd put Sorensen of like, clearly they felt the outsider was not, they weren't going to mess with. And I don't like Brandon Staley, like Kyle hires random guys to be position coaches, whatever. It's no different than the Eagles last year. Hiring Patricia as a consultant, senior analyst, senior defensive coach, not a big deal. Well, when you make him the defensive coordinator in the middle of the season, then he becomes a big deal, right?
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, I to me, Sorensen is in the same. It is Saleh and D'Amico all over again. And it's closer to D'Amico than it is to Saleh. But, you know, Anthony Lynn was the assistant head coach. Nobody ever talked about Anthony Lynn.
John Embry was forever the tight end coach when he was here.
I think what makes it interesting is, like, both those guys were offensive coaches. Brandon Staley's obviously a defensive coach. And has been in the Shanahan tree, quote unquote, but coaches a different, slightly different defense than what Kyle likes and has had. So anytime you introduce any new ingredient into the recipe, you're hoping that it adds a little something, right, to the final dish, maybe in a way that's not totally noticeable. I guess like every college football program has, not every, but a lot of them have guys who are way more qualified.
The ones with money.
Than the roles they have, right? And, you know, I think that I don't think he's there to do nothing. Now, he might be there just as much as image rehabilitation as anything else, but he's not going to say a word. You're never going to hear him talk. He's not going to say anything. There's no press conferences for the assistant head coach. Anthony Lynn hasn't talked since he was on Hard Knocks. But I do think he's there. I think he's there. I don't think he's there to do nothing. I think he's there to try and help their defense a little bit.
For sure. One element, he's represented by Richmond Flowers.
Right.
Who is worked for the Shanahans and represents a lot of the Shanahan guys.
Mike hired him first, right?
Mike hired him, played with Kyle, right, in college at Duke. I don't think many people were hiring Brandon Staley.
Yeah.
I think there was a toxicity to him that only a couple teams would have been interested. And I think going back to Patricia, kind of similar, right? Like the Eagles might have been one of the lone teams that would have had interest bringing him into a role. And I think Kyle threw this guy a lifeline, which I can think a guy is a complete fraud, and I do. Not that he can't go up to a whiteboard and coach, but I think he's one of the most overrated coaches.
You think his you think his press conferences made people think he was a better coach than he is? Is that accurate?
I know people that worked with him when he was a position coach and just was like, he is such a know-it-all. Like they just didn't like him. And I got that vibe immediately with press conferences when he starts naming guys and he started playing that. And remember, early on, he was well-liked in the media circles because he knew how to play the game. And this notion, like 2020, he was an awesome defensive coordinator. 2020 is one of the biggest Fugazi sports years of our life. This notion that like Brandon Staley proved anything in 2020, if he had done it for three straight years, I'm like, yeah. He had the best defense. I think that year is so fake. The Niners spent all of December in a different state because they got kicked out. So this notion that he's some great defensive coordinator.
There were no fans.
Bullshit.
There were no fans, John. No fans.
All your meetings were
the stadiums were empty.
He inherited a bunch of guys that had already been there. Like I'm not saying the guy knows nothing, but and I have no problem. Like someone has to hire the guy. Okay, if Kyle wants to do that. If he, though, is in line, if Sorensen has success, like I will never be okay with him being the defensive coordinator.
I'm just laughing because here we are, the last Haberman and Middlecoff show. We'll do a pod here or there, but it's not this. And one of the last things we're going to talk about is Brandon Staley.
Well, I mean, he was. I would say this was a pretty big headline when he was hired.
No, right? I know. I just, you know, that's what we always did. We just talk about the stuff that's happening. When this audio is in the Library of Congress in 100 years and somebody's pulling it, you know, they'd be like, oh, Haberman and Middlecoff, that was a big deal. But who is this Brandon Staley guy they're talking about?
Well, for example, Kyle hires a defensive coordinator. Is it fair to say he wasn't the big story of the tweet?
Yeah. 100%.
Overshadowed by a mile.
100%. Which, you know what? Honestly, for him, is it's fine. He's not the guy that cares. He's not the type that cares. And it doesn't really matter. But ultimately, it will change because when real football gets played, he's the defensive coordinator. And every week, he's the one answering the questions in the press conferences, right?
Which is why, ultimately, I don't care that much that Brandon Staley's hired. Like, he's not – a lot of assistants give ideas. Like, he's not the guy calling the defense. And – I do think it empowered Sorensen to know, well, they hire a guy and immediately it's a Sorensen connection, right?
Right. KJ Wright.
Which makes me feel good. No different. They hire Robert Saleh. D'Amico's Kyle guy too, but Saleh had like they knew each other. Like I like that. You want to empower your assistant coach. He doesn't get to hire his entire staff, really anybody, but he does get to bring one guy. So that's not nothing.
No, it's not nothing at all. I mean, I think it helps that he coached linebackers for a year, right? So you know he's got the Fred Warner stamp of approval. That matters.
Was that when Holland was sick?
Yeah. So. He's not about to become a head coach either, huh?
You said long hair. Become a head coach?
Well, maybe he is. I don't know. I didn't. Yep. It took D'Amico a couple of years. It took Saleh a few years, but it did happen.
One thing quickly. I would say: young guy played in the league for 10 years.
That's true.
Looking guy, his resume worked for Kyle and Pete. He's only worked for two high level guys.
I know
two winners.
Maybe
his resume. Maybe. If they're good on defense, looks pretty good.
It does. Puts him over the top. Wins a championship. KJ, you know, did you think like, oh, maybe Kyle wants KJ Wright to be his defensive coordinator in 3 years when they hired him?
My guess is KJ Wright's hitting that guy up a lot, like wanted in, and he just.
I guess he tried to get on the Mike McDonald staff too. I think I saw somebody say.
Yeah, I think that you're very dependent. Like I saw a guy that I met through you, Shane Vereen, at the combine. And Shane's like, I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm here trying to get into scouting because Cassario brought me out. It's like, oh, yeah, you're a Patriot for a while.
Yeah.
So it's like, you're very dependent. Like, the only people I could talk to at the combine, like, John Lynch didn't text me back. You know, Sean McDermott, he didn't even show up, but he didn't text me back. Like, it's all connection. Like all the guys that know each other stick with each other. It's a very like loyal to your people group. And I think the Shanahan group is kind of somewhat intertwined a little bit through Sala and some of these Seattle guys now. And they're kind of connections. So I like Shane's there with these guys. I saw Darius Hayward Bay. He's with the Ravens because of a guy he knew that was with the Ravens. Like all these guys, you're just very – our guy Keith Williams, who I talked to for a while, he got hired with the Saints, wide receiver coach. He said he made a call to somebody, but he had realized that he already had a voicemail from Dennis Allen. You know the guy that called Dennis Allen the moment they had a wide receiver opening? Derek Carr. It's like everything is connected with who you know.
Who Keith coached at Fresno State.
Yeah.
I laugh when you brought up Shane because I played Olympic Club the other day and our buddy Brian Hawkins was there and we were going through the pro shop and he's like, God, who do you think people come in here and like really buy stuff? And I'm like, oh yeah, we played. You were Shane Vereen came in one day, forgot all his shit and like bought a bunch of stuff at the pro shop so he could play around the golf.
What was like a pullover at an Olympic, like 250?
No, you know, I got one of those Dunning brand. Do you ever wear that brand?
I've had it before. Yeah.
I got a vest for like 150, which it's like 165 on the website. So I don't think it was weird. Like, I don't think they really mark up their shit, but it's just expensive to begin with.
Yeah.
Here's a question, John. AJ says, favorite Raider low point over the show's run. Oof. Does that go back to just podcast days or radio days? I mean,
I was eating lunch with a guy at the combine who got me hired with the Eagles back in the day. He still works. He's like one of the Eagles' top guys. And he brought up, what's the corner's name? With Ohio State, who just got arrested again.
Damon Arnett.
He said, he's like, you know, when you go through Ohio State, they're not exactly the most forthcoming place. Like, they're not just giving you all the dirt on everybody. And even him, they were like, I'd do some digging on this guy. And he said his character of a lot of character guys was pretty insane. And the Raiders drafted him. I mean, they had a stretch there for 2 years where they traded Khalil Mack and they drafted one guy. I don't put Ruggs. I mean, that is, it's hard for me to put that as a low point, even though that is, it's hard to get much lower than that. I don't think
the
low
point stuff is like, we want to take joy in it.
Yeah. I do think the stretch of Arnett, who's not, it's one thing to like, you know, he got arrested for excessive speed on the road or, you know, a few too many and couldn't walk and got arrested for a drunk in public and like slinging meth and Leatherwood. I mean, they had a stretch there. John Gruden got fired at halftime of a Monday Night Football game, like week 5 or 6. And then a couple of weeks later, the Ruggs thing.
More joy in that stuff earlier in our podcast. Later, it was not as fun for me as like, was it Jamal Charles that had 5 touchdowns against the Raiders?
Yeah.
Like that
full
was a
through
day.
7.
That was a day. You know, that was a glorious day of the Coliseum, John.
Full through 7.
That was a day. When they sign Russell Wilson, you know, that'll be a big moment, you know.
I didn't realize that Foles, I mean, I would assume he's not like, he doesn't have a small penis, but like Jason Kelce said yesterday, he's like the guy with the biggest dick in the room. Like he legitimately just has a hog. Must, right? I thought they.
You thought it was a joke that they called him Big Dick Nick?
I don't know if it was a joke. I didn't expect him to not be packing some heat, but I didn't know that he like has some like 10-inch dong, which clearly he does.
I didn't. I think
he's a big guy. I mean, he's 6'5".
I've said this, I think, but like, I think I've told the story of somebody who knows. Told one time, showed me the video from his after they won the Super Bowl in Philly, his doorbell camera. And people would just drive by the house, which was not in the gated community, and just scream, honk the horn and yell, Big Dick Nick. And I've seen the doorbell footage, like Big Dick Nick. And just drive off.
It's incredible.
That was a good speech from Kelce.
It was really good.
That was a good. Yeah, I wish the Niners had
offensive lineman becomes that famous.
Yeah. I mean, for their playing career, right?
A lot of different factors, obviously, but he kind of checks them all off. Brother, really famous and elite player, yeah. Podcast. I think it kind of, I would say it starts, I mean, probably one of the more legendary championship speeches, his moment.
That it. Do you think that kicked it off? I think that did kick it off.
I think it really outfit, kicked it off.
Whatever that whole thing is. What's it called?
The Mummers.
The Mummers.
He even said yesterday that his 2016 season was the worst year of his career. And then he bounced back. I mean, part of winning the Super Bowl, he had an all-pro year. He became like one of the best players in the league. And then they won the Super Bowl, and he's just pretty not very often like your team captain, kind of the heartbeat of your team is your center.
Yeah, I also – don't you think it's kind of crazy, like, Jason Kelce came in the league in 2011. I didn't really know about Jason Kelce until like – but I didn't know – I didn't like – sometimes he's offensive lineman. By year two or three, you know he's like one of the best offensive linemen in the league.
Well, because he didn't make a – I mean, he I think he had a Pro Bowl in 14, but he said he was a pretty average player till 2017
when his
career changed.
When he was 30.
Yeah.
That's the midway point of his career. Pretty impressive. I don't know. You got anything else? There's nothing – I don't think we have any grand finish to this. We hadn't planned on any particular amount of time or exactly what to say. I'm sure I'll think of something I wish I'd said afterwards. But the good news is we got a YouTube. I can just say it later.
Yeah, I'm not dying.
Not right now.
It was like yesterday, Kelce was like, Kylie, we had a hell of a run. People were like, his wife dead or something? Like, your run's not over.
Oh, no, I'm retiring and leaving you.
I'm single, boys.
We had an agreement. We were staying married as long as I was in the league. Yeah. All right. Well, anything else to say? Anything else to add?
Hell of a run.
It was a hell of a run.
Incredible run. Not many things last, I mean, in this business this long, I would say. Especially once they get canceled somewhere.
Who got canceled?
Well, I'm saying like once our show got broken
the radio
up.
Show. Yeah, we got that show got
years.
Yeah.
So it's usually kind of ends. Not only didn't end, we figured out a way to make it stronger.
Charlie says, this is such a guy outro. He doesn't mean me. He means like dudes. Just like ending it with nothing really else to add.
I think I was thinking about this morning is – in this world we live in and work in, you know, in the legacy streets of whether it's you work for a newspaper, you work for a radio station, even a television show, I would imagine a lot of times you get canceled. You don't know when it's coming or when it ends. You don't know when it's coming or when you're fired. You don't know when it's coming or just your last show. You don't usually get to see, like you find out it was your last show after.
That's how our last radio show was. Although John Lennon had warned us, like, oh, they're about to take you guys out.
Some tea leaves, but we were young.
Oh, we confronted the boss, remember?
Yeah. So it's just, you know, the ability to kind of, like, control what you do when you go out, when you come. You can always come back. I mean, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, nothing's stopping us from a collab. Nothing's stopping us other than... how we value our time, I guess.
But, cheers to the people.
Oh, yeah. A toast, John. A toast. Good run. We'll talk again. I mean, I'll probably do something tomorrow, but... yeah. All right. Like
adios,
I said, there's
people.
No... I do want... I'll say one last thing. I do understand with, like... You know, I've been watching the latest season of Curb. Have you been watching it?
Yeah. It's excellent.
First episode, I didn't love, but it got real. I think it's been excellent. I agree.
The golf episode where he hit the guy, he stole the.
So good. The deaf guy.
Yeah. Disgruntled. The dog, when he thought the dog was getting eaten by the coyote. I mean.
So good.
Jeff's wife's been an incredible character.
Amazing.
She's carries. I'd say she's the second most important character.
Jeff's wife.
She's pretty special.
She's the only one that goes toe-to-toe with him, right?
She's been, I probably skipped some seasons. She's been elite for a while, hasn't she?
Yeah, she has been. And you know, they miss Funkhauser. But anyway, I started thinking about Seinfeld and the way that show ended, and people always hated the way it ended. And I just don't, you know, I don't think there's any, like, last thing you can ever do if you're ending a show that satisfies everybody. So, you know, I think it's fitting that we're just ending this show in the same tone and the way that we did all of our shows, which was just, you know, it wasn't overly dramatic. We didn't pretend like it mattered more than it did. But in the end, it probably didn't matter more than...
Except when you lose Super Bowl in overtime when you have a lead. I mean, that was rough.
Yeah, that was tough. For them. I mean, it was good content.
Yeah.
People were mad.
Once you get to the Super Bowl, you really can't go any
further. You know, I don't want to say it, but it was like, you know, we maximized. I mean, we could have got another quarter of football, I guess, if I'm getting greedy, play six quarters in the Super Bowl.
Well, Kyle wanted that. Remember the third possession? He was hoping.
I wanted the sixth quarter too, John. I really think one of the underrated discussions coming out of that Super Bowl, there was so much drama. They played five fucking quarters in the Super Bowl. And like nobody really talked about that we played five quarters in the Super Bowl. And we were this close to getting six. Nobody talked about it, except for Romo with 8 seconds left. He's like, oh, by the way, this is another quarter. And then it just ended.
Whenever I see the highlight of that touchdown, it was
too easy.
It was actually easier than I even thought it was live when I hit the ground.
I know.
No one's even close.
All right. On that note, cheers. John, it was a pleasure. I'll talk to you soon. And thanks, everybody. Haberman and Middlecoff out.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.